Blog Talk Radio.
Monet and left foot.
Whoa!
Get the deal.
Another day.
Dabadini.
I take your pain away. Oh, some people talk about you like they know all about you. When you get down, they doubt you. And when you dip it on the scene, yeah, they talking about it. Cause they can't dip on the scene. What you talk about?
Of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, warning, comforter in our midst. And it is my distinct honor to welcome you all back to Conscious Black Nation and greet you in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, dear brother. And like I said, welcome back to Conscious Black Nation. And I'm going to really let Brother Kareem introduce this topic because I may or may not have gotten it right. But I know that he's going to talk about building a nation for real. And so that is so pertinent in our time and with the situation that we as black people are suffering, not only in the United States, but all over the world. So I'm not going to delay any further because he wouldn't allow me to do so anyway. I will present to you our beloved brother and host and vice president of Nation Building Network, Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum once again, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen Aziza, and thank you very, very much for once again allowing me this opportunity by the grace of Allah to serve, because indeed, the way I look at it, the way I view it, is if we are not serving, then what's the point in us being here? What's the point of us even taking breath? Yes, ma'am. And as you said, our topic tonight is, it's nation time, for real. Now, before I actually, you know, get in, because, you know, we always lay a scriptural base, scriptural foundation, the reason that it's entitled, it's nation time for real, is because for years and years and years, you know, we've been hearing this phrase, you know, it's nation time. You know, it's one of the catchphrases. You know, it's a shame to say it like that, but it's become quote unquote cliche. You know, it's just like individuals. You hear them say, "Inshallah." You know, you hear it's nation. It's just something people, or even "Assalamu alaikum." It's something people just say without having any real spirit, any real drive, really any real understanding behind the statement or the words. And so the reason we're dealing with the topic, it's nation time for real, is because at this time we are in. We, and it's really been beyond that long before now, but at the time we're in now, it's so critical, we have no time to play. An example is, for example, the show that we did on Saturday concerning evidence of Master Farad Muhammad. I mean, there are so many that say, you know, we'll say out our mouths, we believe that Allah came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. We believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, or we say the exalted Christ. We'll say that, you know, and I'm with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But what are we actually doing to substantiate those statements? I mean, that's the reality of it. Yes, ma'am. The show that was on Friday concerning our missing children. See, we say, yeah, it's nation time, you know. We say we're the Nation of Islam, or we say whatever organization individuals say they belong to, or what church or whatever it is. However, again, it stems back to what actions are we taking to actually prove that. I mean, it's nation time, yes. So since it's nation time and we have this wisdom, then, excuse my language, then why the hell are so many of our children, and particularly our girls, our young women, going missing? These are the things we got to think. These are the questions we got to ask and then answer. So that's why our topic is, it's nation time for real, and the subject is taken from the book, Message to the Black Man, by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the section entitled Program and Position, and the chapter is A Program for Self-Development. But before we get into that, let us lay our scriptural base. We're going to start with the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed Shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We're reading from Surah or Chapter 23, verses or Ayat 57 through 62, wherein Allah states, surely they who live in awe for fear of their Lord, and those who believe in the messages of their Lord, and those who associate not with their Lord, and those who give what they give while their hearts are full of fear that to their Lord they must return, these hasten to good things, and they are foremost in attaining them. And we lay not on any soul a burden except to the extent of its ability. And with us is a book which speaks the truth, and they are not wrong. So Dr. Allah, surely Allah speaks the truth. And then we want to go to the Bible, starting in Psalms, and we're going to the 82nd Psalm, wherein it reads, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked?
Selah.
Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. And then secondly, we go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 20, wherein it states, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, sir.
Right. So that is our scriptural base. And again, I want to let the listening audience know, those in the chat room, those on the phone, this is about participation, because this is not just, and none of our programs here on Nation Building Network are just about whoever the host is or whoever the guest may be, getting on and pontificating or running our mouths to show, oh, we know this and we know that. No, these shows are out here so that we can begin to dialogue, and then from that dialogue actually begin to take action, 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 wherever we are, to bring into existence peace, harmony, what some call the hereafter, what the book just called the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. I mean, it's a real, the kingdom of God or the hereafter or the kingdom of heaven is real. It's not somewhere else. It will exist here on the planet where we are. However, it won't exist until we actually take the necessary action to bring it into existence. And the first place we have to take that action is within ourselves. That's the first place it has to take place. So again, our topic tonight is it's nation time for real. Now I'm going to begin in Message to the Black Man. And we will, if time permits, we're going to cover in program and position under program for self-development. There are 12 points, and we have the time, inshallah, we're going to cover all 12 points. However, there are some that are here that are at this juncture because of the things that are happening. I feel are more important to focus on, but we will cover them all. Page 170 of Message to the Black Man, in that very chapter, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad makes this statement. He says, the Negro leaders are frightened to death and are afraid to ask for anything other than a job. Now, he states the Negro leaders. Yes, the Negro leaders are that way. However, I have to be truthful and I have to be honest from my own experience. And maybe that makes them fall under the category of Negro leaders. But even among the so-called conscious community, and yes, even among those who say that they are followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad or that they are followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I have found a large number of individuals that all they're thinking about is going to the enemy and getting a job, when we've already been told for over 50 years that they no longer have jobs for us and that our real job is to produce a nation for ourselves. We're going to get into that. Let me continue. The good things of this earth could be theirs if they would only unite and acquire wealth, as the masters and the other independent nations have. The Negroes could have all of this if they could get up and go to work for self. They are far too lazy as a nation, 100 years up from slavery, and still looking to the master to care for them and give them a job, bread, and a house to live in on the master's land. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Surely the white race has been very good in the way of making jobs for their willing slaves. But this cannot go on forever. We are about at the end of it and must do something for self or else. Now, this book was originally published, if I'm not mistaken, in 1965. That's the original copyright, 1965. We are in 2014. And what progress have we made, Muslims? Conscious black folk, what have we done? What do we have? And don't talk to me about Obama. Don't get me wrong. I love my brother, but again, what have we accomplished? The rates among us, for example, of young black men and now particularly young black women that are going to the penitentiary. They're in the penitentiary now, steadily going. The rates of our young black brothers and sisters turning to homosexuality have skyrocketed. sisters out. Mm-hmm. Prostitute, skyrocketing. Drug abuse, skyrocketing. But we're conscious, right? We're on the move, right? It's nation time, right? I need some evidence. But let me continue. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad continues and he states, the slave master has given you enough education to go and do for self. But this education is not being used for self. It is even offered back to the slave masters to help them to keep you a dependent people looking to them for support. Let us unite every good that is in us for the uplifting of the American so-called Negroes to the equal of the world's independent nations. Let me say that again. Listen to his words. He says, let us unite every good. So, see, he didn't just say you had to be a Muslim. He said, let us unite every good. So that means that wherever we are at, making a good effort, performing a good work, whatever our quote-unquote ideology is, we have to recognize that we are black. I know you want to be politically correct and say you're African-American. Okay, fine. That's fine. Whatever label you like, have at it. The point is that we are a people, a nation within a nation that has nothing. You talk about America being a nation of consumers. We are a nation of consumers in a nation of consumers. We produce nothing but death, chaos, and destruction among ourselves. It's a shame. But he says, let us unite every good that is in us for the uplifting of the American so-called Negroes to the equal of the world's independent nations. Ask for a start for self, and the American white people, I believe, are willing to help give us a start if they see you and I are willing to do for self. It would remove from them not only the worry of trying to give jobs and schools to a lazy people, but also would get them honor and sincere friendship all over the Asiatic world, and God himself would prolong their time on the earth. We must stop relying upon the white man to care for us. We must become an independent people. And now we're going to get into the 12 points. The first one being, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, so-called Negroes should. And then point number one is, separate yourselves from the slave master. Now, when I know the majority of individuals, particularly the, educated among us, with our college degrees, or, if we happen to have a business, we got a good job and we feel particularly well off. We can pay the bills. We can have a barbecue on Memorial Day and, have our drink or whatever our little diversion is here or there. We think we're doing pretty good. So you say, slave masters, what slave masters? When he says to separate ourselves, separate yourselves from the slave master, let's understand what a slave master is. First, a slave. A slave is one who uses all of their time, all of their resources, all of their brain power and physical capabilities to keep someone else in power, to keep someone else rising, to keep someone else wealthy and free. Master is the one who controls the circumstances under which all other individuals live. Now, I know you may have that good job. I know you may even have your own business. However, we live in and under a system whereby at any given time, with a word from them, they can shut you down. If you lost your good job tomorrow, I want you to think about this. What would you do? The first thing you would do is you're going to go and apply for unemployment. Or some individuals are going to go out and look for another job, but you will go to apply for unemployment. In other words, no matter what you did, you would still be making yourself subject to the current system, which has us under oppression. So when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, separate yourselves from your slave master, yes, we need to separate ourselves from our slave masters physically. More importantly, we need to separate ourselves from our slave masters, quote unquote, spiritually. And when I say spiritually, again, you know me, I'm not talking about nothing spooky. But when I say spiritually, I'm talking about spiritual in the sense of the mind of God, the power of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Because when you actually study and you learn and you grow, you understand that there is no difference between the mind of God and what manifests or God manifests in the creation. You can't separate the two. It's simply that when it's in his mind, it's unmanifested. When it becomes manifested, you and I can see it. We can hear it. It's just like when you or I have an idea for something. Before we actually bring it into quote-unquote physical or material existence, it's unmanifested. So when he says to separate ourselves from our slave masters, the first thing we have to do is separate our thinking from that of being a slave. We have to begin to think independently. The only way we can think independently is by studying and practicing the word of God himself. Not letting somebody else tell it to us. Not going to a church meeting on Sunday or even a mosque meeting on Sunday or a study group on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or even to Juma prayer or to a Bible study. We have to pick up the scripture for ourselves, praying and asking for guidance from the Lord of the worlds who lives in us. And then once we have that, move out in a practical manner and apply that first in our personal lives and then in our community. That's how we separate ourselves from our slave master, but there's more to that. Point number two of program imposition. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states to us, he says, pool your resources, education, and qualifications for independence. Well, you know, some would say, well, I thought we were doing that. Well, if we are doing that, I'll give you a prime example of the fact that we are not doing that effectively. As I drive around here in the city of St. Louis, doing business, out working in the community among the people, and I did so today just to see, and just today, I counted 26 schools. That's right, 26 schools that are shut down. No longer in operation, buildings up for sale in the black community. But we're well off. We're taking care of business. It's nation time. If it's nation time, or if it is nation time, then how could there be centers of quote-unquote education shut down in our community? But we have this wisdom, we have this knowledge. We say we know God. We got God on our side. And I'm just not just, again, regardless of whatever label you position yourself under, if we were being effective, if we really understood what it's nation time means and were operating under that thought, there's no way that these schools would be closed in our community. Because as soon as the word got out that they were going to close the school, or even after they closed it, the first thing we would do is exactly what he said. We would pool our resources. Yeah, well, we know that takes money. But he also said, notice what he said, education and qualifications for independence. There are, I mean, right here in St. Louis, there are enough individuals with the financial resources. There are enough individuals who have teaching degrees that if we were not all running around trying to be the HNIC and were more concerned with the whole, then we would be able to go right in, because I'm one willing to go in and work whatever structural work, whatever construction needs to be done, yes, for our future. I'm willing to donate that, put my time in or at a reduced rate, however we got to do it, and make sure these buildings are up. And then you have these teachers. Yeah, I know they ain't partly paying you nothing. But, hey, if we open the institution and instead of taking them dollars and going and getting some Nikes, a new plasma, a new flat screen, when you get your little income tax check, which is worth nothing anyway, instead of going and putting it down on that little raggedy vehicle, if we would take that and we put together all our resources and just open one school and begin to build from there, I guarantee you, teachers, your salary would be taken care of and you would be just fine, because then we could, from that, springboard, as they say, off into opening, reopening the rest of the institutions, and then we wouldn't have to concern ourselves about the poor quality of education that we say our children are getting. They bust our children wherever they bust them to, and then they still come home. So they go to the school with a uniform on, and they hang out with the enemy. And they have to have some type of discipline. Then they immediately come home, or they get on the bus, and then they change clothes, and now they're sagging. And so they're back in the neighborhood with this same mentality. So of what use was it for them to go somewhere else? Well, you say they're getting a better education. No, we need to take back. That's part of It's Nation Time. The biggest part really now is reclaiming our youth. And that even has two parts. Yes, we must reclaim our youth, meaning the young people, the young men, the young women. However, those of us who are, how do they say, a little long in the tooth, Queen Aziza? I know that's not you, that's me.
Oh, no, that's certainly not me. Not even with all this gray hair in my head, that is certainly not me.
Even those of us who are a little long in the tooth, I'm going to say it about myself. Reclaiming our youth also means that vigor, that fire, that drive that we had as young men and women to see our people rise and to see the resurrection of the dead and to see the will of God done, we got to reclaim that. We got to rekindle that. That's how we need to be operating. We need to be moving around. Oh, well, you know, I remember when, and I did some, you know, but I'm so-and-so age now, you know, I just can't do what I used to. If we were practicing the teachings we have been given 100%, that wouldn't be an issue. Let me share something with you before we move on to the next point. You'll find it. And for those who don't have this information, I'll let you know where it's coming from. Those of you who may be our Christian brothers and sisters, these things apply to you too, even though they may be coming from under the auspices of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In the original rules of instructions to the laborers that was given to us, point number 10 states, the restrictive law of Islam is our success at any time. Let me explain how it applies to those who may not be or say they are a member of the Nation of Islam. when it says the restrictive law, remember, we just read it. We just read, not from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, wherein, in chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus makes this statement. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, a jot is a word or a letter, or one tittle, that means punctuation, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Well, what is he talking about being fulfilled? He's talking about the establishment of the kingdom of heaven, not on earth, but in earth. Go read the prayer for yourself, the one we call the Lord's Prayer. I'll quote it for you. It says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means very holy. That means raised up, carried with honor. Hallowed be thy name. It says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What is it talking about? Very, very plainly, very simply. Since this is the temple of the living God, and Jesus states the fact that the kingdom of heaven is within you, when it says in earth as it is in heaven, it means the earth is this body first, and heaven is the mind. So when we take on the mind of God, then we do the works of God. Our body's going to do the right thing. We're going to move in the right direction. And once it's established in us personally, then we can't help but establish it in our homes and in our communities. So when it says the restrictive law, restrictive meaning what? To restrict means to hold one back from. So what is this restrictive law holding us back from? It's holding us back from evil, back from wickedness, back from destruction, back from insanity. It states the restrictive law of Islam, and understand Islam means total or entire submission to the will of God. So no matter where you are, if you're under or you are striving to submit your will to do the will of God, then you are under the restrictive law of Islam or the restrictive law of God, of divine. Now, here is the key point that I'm getting to. It says anyone who fails to be 100% to the law shall be dismissed from his or her post. Now, for those of us in the nation of Islam, you know, I personally, from what I can see, we limit that. We think that when it says to be dismissed from his or her post, it's talking about, oh, I won't be a lieutenant. No, no. They're going to take away my captaincy. Lord, they won't call me student minister no more. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I'm not gonna apologize. Yeah, I'm making fun of you.
I'm gonna be real.
Seriously, those titles, and if you're in the church, you're not gonna be the pastor no more. You're not gonna be the usher on the usher board or the deacon. All those titles mean nothing, because the real post that we have been given is the life God has blessed us with. And so what it's really saying is that if we fail to be or striving to be 100% in submission to the will of God, we're going to die. That's the post we'll be dismissed from. From off the planet, all out of life. That's the post. It's that serious. Not them little mamby-pamby titles we hold on to. We are wasting time. I mean, what good is my title? Each and every day I am not helping to save, or at least attempting to save, at least one life. And the majority of the time for me, I'm going to be honest with you, the first life I have to save each and every morning is my own. When Allah awakens me, the first thing I have to do is pray to him and thank him for another day and beg and ask him for his guidance to walk in an upright manner through that day, through all the temptations and everything else that I'm going to face. So this is the first life I save each day is my own. Then it's my responsibility, it's our responsibility to walk out and be an example and hopefully attract someone else and help them to be saved. That's the saving. Now we're going to move forward, and we're going to go to point number three. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, and this is on page 171, by the way, if you want to follow along. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, stop forcing yourself into places where you are not wanted. It's self-explanatory. However, let's get into that. And Queen Aziza, let me ask you, at this point, has anybody had a hand up on the phone, or are there any questions in the chat room or comments?
No, but let me remind the listening audience, if you have a question, or just call in and make a comment in reference to what Brother Kareem is discussing, because this requires participation from all of us. It requires us to be proactive, and we can't continue to be oblivious to some of the things that are surrounding us. And so I want to encourage all of you who are sitting there, I'm looking at your numbers, but like you looking at me, I'm looking at you, to press one on your dial pad and join in the conversation. And those of you in the chat room, I guess, Brother Kareem, you are not leaving anything to question, so there are no questions. But I will tell you that Tanya and Danny and SJ1992 sends you the greeting.
All praise is due to Allah, and I return the greetings to you and thank you. And like I said, I mean, I really want some participation, because see, this is, I say again, this is not about me. This is about us, because as Queen Aziza just stated, we must become proactive. We can't, we are beyond the point of just talking about these things anymore. I'm looking for those that more people. There are some Allah has blessed me with, but I'm looking for more individuals that we can work together to stem this tide of destruction among us. See, we haven't recognized, evidently, that we are in the destruction. You know, see, many of us are waiting on the bombs to drop from the baby plane, not understanding the bombs have already begun to drop. And when it comes to the time where physical bombs start dropping and mountains start being raised, okay, it's over. Now it's really over. There's no chance. And that's for some that say that they're on point. You know, so this is a time we yet have time to actually make a difference. And so that's what we're looking for participation. I'm going to say this, though. You know, if I don't get some participation shortly, I'm going to log in myself, and any number I recognize, I'm firing your mic up. I'm fired up.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, all praises due to a lot.
I had a very interesting call. conversation with Brother Gene today just about this very issue. And, you know, he is
Excuse
on
me.
The phone.
Well, assalamu alaikum, Brother Gene. Talk to me, black man.
Oh, brother. It is just so, first of all, the name of Allah, the Benevolent Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farag Muhammad, whom praise is due forever. I thank him for the messenger, Elijah Muhammad, bro. It's just a humbling experience, yet at the same time, it really just, you know, it saddens me, the condition that we're in as a people. We're in hell, and we have become so comfortable being in hell to where we don't even realize it. You talk about the schools in St. Louis. I've seen the same, Brother Kareem, but as the scripture says, many are called, but only a few are chosen. There are some out there that don't have the vision. They don't believe we have fallen so below the animalistic plane. We're doing things that animals don't do. We're in hell, and we don't even know it. And you talk about those bombs coming down from the baby plane, you're right, brother. It's over then. But we're under divine chastisement. And if we don't get up now and do something, boy, I just hate to see the judgment come down. But we will rightfully deserve it because we're ignoring and rejecting the message. This is the time and what must be done, black man and woman, and I'm submitting to you. Get up. You said we buy Nike shoes. We buy flat-screen TVs. We buy cars. We the biggest damn consumers in the world today, but yet we own nothing. What good is supreme wisdom when you're not doing nothing with it? Where is your work?
Come on.
We've become a church. I must say that the world has creeped up in the mosque. This man has been among us and teaching us over 55 years, and we have not appreciated him much, and we better pray to Allah that he don't get tired. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Gene.
And you know, I think it's very disheartening. You know, I put it like this. Student Minister Tony always says, "Bring the believer good news," and we all want to bring the good news. We all want to, I know I try to do shows that are either one or two things. Either they are uplifting or they are informative. And sometimes when you do an informative show, the information is not always positive, but the point is it the truth? And so I have the privilege and the honor to actually talk to a lot of believers across the country, and I get more bad news than good news, but I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to fall back, and I'm going to say that, like I shared with Brother Gene this afternoon, I don't think that people disappoint us. I think that our expectations of people disappoint us. And I think we have a large investment in expectation. And during the time of expectation, there's a lot of energy projected forward into another individual into another human being, and we're looking and we're judging and we're condemning what another person is doing. Is that person a believer? That person is a hypocrite. You know, that person needs to be in the mouth. That person needs to be out of the mouth. All of that energy going forth toward somebody or another group of people. But if each of us, one by one, will work on self-improvement and work on the proper handling of people, then we together can grow and develop and create prosperity. But that's oftentimes not the case. And so the little trivial things that we occupy ourselves with are just energy being used unnecessarily because we all fall short. So we all have that big room in our house, the room for improvement. But I tell you what, I'll be completely honest. People do what they desire. When people decide that they want that pair of brand new Jordans, they want that flat screen, they want that vehicle, they do what they have to do to obtain what they desire. And a lot of times what we see is a reaction. People are being reactionary to some of the things that they are facing in the nation or in the mosque or whatever it is. Proper handling of people is very, very important, because if you break the spirit of a believer, you have done a mighty injustice. And so a lot of us, our spirits are broken. So therefore, when your spirit is broken, you don't function as well. But we got to stop having these expectations, because when you develop an expectation for somebody else, of someone else, then you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yes, ma'am.
So I would say that I believe in Allah that came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. And I seek refuge in Allah. And I look to Allah for my help. And so when the minister says or asks, how strong is your foundation? How strong is your foundation?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say our foundation. He didn't say the foundation. He said, how strong is your foundation? So your, meaning you as an individual, have to get it together, and then you come with other people who've gotten it together, and then you can build together. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Brother Kareem, I also just want to say, you know, it's not, you know, it's not a show. There's many of these shows I've been on, and they're so enlightening, whether, you know, they're negative or, you know, I don't see them as negative. You know, there's always positive in them. And the minister always talks, you just can't study the fruit. You got to study the root. So, you know, we got to go to the root of the problem and uproot it. And that's all that I'm trying to stress tonight is going to the root of the problem, and let's uproot it. And let's get this thing popping, man. It's America's for sale. Why, you know, we support the economic blueprint on a national level, but damn it, we can do that on a local level. I mean, the buildings that you mentioned in St. Louis, them are sound brick buildings. Beautiful. I don't know, Sister Queen, you've probably never been to St. Louis, but they built them houses and properties in St. Louis a lot of different than where they built in other cities. I guess that's why it's called it St. Louis Saint because most of the houses look like they were built for bishops and archbishops, and they're three layers of brick. We got gold mines sitting in our backyard, but the enemy has got us so distracted on other things that we're not paying attention. And I just want to say that there's a lot of positive that comes out of these talk shows and a lot of positive things. I'm just basically going to the root of the problem and trying to uproot it. And like you said, Sister Queen, we have to start with self. Start with self and be an example for other people to follow and go out there and save our youth because they're not even being taught any spirituality today. They go to school where they're warehousing your babies. They come home, like you said, put the saggy clothes on, and everybody walking around with a mop on their head. That's what it looked like to me with dreadlocks. You ask them who Bob Marley was, they can't even tell you, you know. And it's after school, it's foolishness. We've got young teenage grandmothers 30. Grandmother's 30 years old. There's no spirituality within the community anymore. It's been broken.
That's true. I know a grandmother. She's 32 years old. She was a mother at 14, and her daughter ended up being a mother at 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
real.
That's real. I can't wait. It's St. Louis in January, bro. I just can't wait.
Well, I'm looking forward to when we can get together and chop it up in person, bro. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And thank both of you, for your contributions. Because, again, everyone that's listening, this is what it's about. It's about us all coming in and seeing all the viewpoints. There's 360 degrees of knowledge. Not one of us is able to view everything from the whole 360 degrees but Allah himself. So we need each other and each other's viewpoint. So moving ahead with our topic, it's nation time for real. I went to Merriam-Webster, and, so we can define or clear, the words that comprise the title of our topic. The preposition, as it's called, it, represents two words, it is, and is defined as that one or part, or that one or particular one, used to refer to an explicit, implicit, or specific state of affairs or circumstances, a crucial or climactic point. Nation has many different meanings. However, for our purpose, when you look it up, it, nation comes from the Latin word, I knew how to pronounce this earlier, is gigener. Or gigener, to beget, to be born. That's what nation means. Time is defined as the measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues, an opportune or suitable moment. Four is a function word which indicates purpose. And real is defined as not artificial, actual, relating to practical or everyday concerns or activities. Essential, from the Sanskrit word rei, or property. So, it's nation time for real. We got to get busy. Now, back to point number three, a program and position as stated by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, wherein he says, stop forcing yourselves into places where you are not wanted. many of us right now, still today, yes, we live in America. They say you have these rights, et cetera. However, why are we wasting our time continually trying to, and still trying to integrate? I mean, I can't speak for anyone else. However, I have learned in my short time on the planet that when I go somewhere and individuals repeatedly reject me, not to waste my time trying to get them to accept me. We're not of the same mind. We're not of the same ilk. We're not of the same spirit, if you will. He tells us, and why does he make that statement? Because, again, we are steadily trying to prove ourselves to the slave master. Sometimes we're steadily trying to prove ourselves to individuals who have not the same interest that we do in the elevation and resurrection of our people and humanity. Now, I'm not saying that we turn our backs on individuals. However, I am saying that we need to, as Queen Aziza was stating, we need to stop wasting time looking at the faults of others. And again, you use that word expectation, and I agree with you. You're absolutely correct. I would just like to say this about expectation. Anything that we do, anything that we think about, anything that we desire, produces an expectation. However, for myself, I qualify by saying that it's necessary for me not to have unrealistic expectations. And what I mean by unrealistic is that at the end of the day, the only individual I actually have any control over, and that is by the grace of Allah and striving to do his will, is myself. So all I can do is strive as hard as I can to do his will, to do what's right and be an example. And the expectation I have is, the one that's realistic, is that at the end of the day, at the end of my effort, I will have peace of mind and I will have pleased the Lord of the worlds to the best of my ability. Now, as far as the unrealistic expectation is that my efforts are going to necessarily change someone else, not if they don't desire to be changed. So I agree with you. Like I said, you know, those expectations, those unrealistic expectations will get you in a world of hurt. You'll always be heartbroken. I did so-and-so, and I thought they should have. No. If you were doing it to elicit a particular response from this individual and you didn't get it, don't be disappointed. Just take the lesson and move on. Now, point number four, make your own neighborhood a decent place to live. Make your own neighborhood a decent place to live. So how do we do that? How do we accomplish making our own neighborhood a decent place to live? And since we're on that point, and now we're dealing with community now, I'm gonna ask you, Queen Aziza. I'm gonna start with you. I'm gonna ask you, in your view, and I wanna again direct this toward reclaiming our youth and what we can do with our youth. How do we begin making our own neighborhood a decent place to live?
Well, wow. I think first we have to improve relations with one another in our communities. That's first and foremost. I mean, you can't prove the condition of a neighborhood where the neighbors are unbeknownst to one another, where parents, you know, you don't know your children's friends, you don't know your neighbors. You know, the greatest resource is the human resource. So when
right.
you improve relations amongst the people, and then, you know, instead of us always looking to be a part of something, sometimes we have to be pioneers. So for those of us who are conscious and have this knowledge and this wisdom and this understanding and supreme wisdom, and, you know, we have the best religion, so we say, so why can't we establish leadership, not necessarily in our community, but at least on our block?
Come on.
You know, everybody can reach one and reach out and improve the block and create a block garden and get to know one another and create that positive vibe. And then those block members go over to the next block. So you build, but it's not something that's going to take place instantly, but it is doable. You know, access the elders in the community. Our elders are so shut in, but access those people who were around during the days of Martin Luther King. Ask them how did they organize in their communities, you know, when they had issues or concerns. If you know there is a crack house on your block or on the next block and that riffraff is coming in your community, the police don't care. They don't care until it spills over into their community. So why can't you come together and say, this is a issue in our community? Why can't you attend the city hall meetings? That's what they're there for. That's what the Citizens Review Board is for. And in some black neighborhoods, there's not one representative on a Citizens Review Board for anything. So we have to be involved. We can never create change if we don't impact policy. And the only way that you impact policy is that you go where policy is written. So there are a lot of improvements that we can do to our community on so many different fronts. Whatever the problems are in your community, I can never name them all. But the first problem is our humanity. We have to get back to that. We have to be neighbors. We have to look out for one another. So we really have to get back to the heart of Allah and start loving one another. That's where we start, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. That's right. That is it. It is those interpersonal relationships, how we treat, how we deal with one another. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, some years ago, I mean, the first time I saw it had to be in 1989. I received a copy of it, the very first study guide. Self-improvement, the basis for community development.
I mean, that study guide in itself
sparked, well, of course, a lot of thought for me. And one of the things that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan reiterated or mentioned, he talked about the fact of how we had to focus on our individual selves and correcting how we related to one another. He emphasized the fact that there were four devils that we had to kill. And we're taught about that in our lessons also. I'm not going to go into all of that in detail. I suggest you get copy of that very first study guide, all the study guides really, but that very first study guide, Self-Improvement, the Basis for Community Development, and study it for yourself. Suffice it to say, I mention it because when we look at any progress that has been made by any community, any group of people, that progress, that improvement has started, has been driven by the interpersonal relationships of the individuals who are part of that community, their common interests, their common goals. See, what I see and what I'm looking at is the fact that, yes, all praises are indeed due to Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and what Allah has given us through the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the work that he does. However, we also have to begin to look at all praise is due to Allah in each and every individual that we meet, that we come in contact with. And how can we effectively associate ourselves, the God in us, with the God in these other individuals? And I just noticed what the time frame is, so I'm going to very, very quickly pay these bills real quick, and we're going to get back into this topic. This is Conscious Black Nation on the Nation Building Network. Conscious Black Nation is sponsored by Kareem's Construction, Room Additions, Remodeling, New Construction, Roofing, Plumbing, Electrical, Handyman Services, and Tile. Kareem's Construction can be reached at 314-651-1094. Remember, beauty is in the hands of the builder. It's also sponsored by Amin Holistic Health Center. The thought is the act is the fact. You go to Amin Holistic Health Center, you will receive guidance in the following: better health through nutrition, success through faith and works, spiritual progress, conquering addiction, aromatherapy, herbology, and never getting sick again. You can reach Amin Holistic Health Center at 314-616-2060. And anytime you're in St. Louis, particularly on the south side, go to 2846 Cherokee Street and talk to the proprietor, the master, and tell him, create me a master pizza. That's right. Master Pizza, located at 2846 Cherokee Street. Phone number 314-899-9939. Pizza by the slice and whole pizzas, 14-inch and 16-inch. All fresh ingredients. They also have chicken wings and their own hand-cut, hand-seasoned fries. That's Master Pizza. And the next time you get a sweet tooth, you really want a bean pie. Don't get any bean pie. Get the best bean pie. Baked by our brother Jeff X here in St. Louis. He can be contacted at 314-315-7833. All right, now that we've done that, let's get back into our topic. We've talked about making our own neighborhood a decent place to live. Point number five, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, rid yourselves of the lust of wine and drink and learn to love self and your kind before loving others. Of course, today, we would have to add, rid yourselves of the lust of wine and drink and crack, cigarettes, cigars, blunts. I can't name all the rest of the junk that's out there. But you understand, in other words, we have to rid ourselves of the desire. And you notice it doesn't just say desire, it says the lust. See, there's a difference in just a desire and a lust. I can desire something, and that's a strong thing, and I want to have it. But when I lust for something, that means I've gone insane. It has literally taken over my being, and I will do anything to possess it or get that feeling just one more time. So he said, rid ourselves of the lust of wine and drink and learn to love self and your kind before loving others. Now, on that point, that last point, learning to love ourselves and kind before loving others. Everything in nature, if you look at all other groups of human beings, on the planet, save for us, the so-called Negro, us quote-unquote African-Americans, everybody else will love themselves. They will look out for themselves and kind before trying to go help somebody else, and we are exactly the opposite. As a matter of fact, we will run, break our necks going to help everybody else. But when it comes to helping ourselves or those who are of our kind, meaning who have gone through, who have survived through the same experiences that we have survived through, who are the descendants of slaves or ex-slaves here in the hills of North America, we turn up our noses at one another. It's a shame. So, yes, we have to learn to love ourselves. But that goes back again, learning how to love one's individual self first. See, I can't say I love you and don't love myself. I can't help you and I won't help myself. If I am willing to put myself in dire straits, and when I say dire straits, that means that I'm going to jeopardize my position, my living position, quote unquote, call myself helping you because I love you, then I don't understand the concept of love. Point number six, so we're halfway through, is stated by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is unite to create a future for yourself. Again, this is one of those points I would feel that is self-explanatory. However, I want to get some input from my brother and sister that's on the phone. And so, Brother Gene, you still with us?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad makes that statement and says, unite to create a future for yourself, how do you view that?
Well, unite and make a future for ourselves as we come together. See, what I see that is happening in the black community is that with all our so-called politicians and black leaders, if you look around us, the NAACP is gone. You know, you got a very few with followers of Noble Drew Ali, you know, and uniting the leaders of our community, and especially there in St. Louis, brother, they are the aldermen, the politician, the city council. People don't know they in the pockets of the, nothing against the Arab, they're in the pockets of the Arab, so they're selling our futures out. So what I'm trying to say is there is no continuity within the black community anymore. Every generation, we start from scratch. So we have to unite and become one, put our religion persuasions to the side. Our people are dying, and we have to build a future for our youth. Give them, we have, the minister has always said, and I totally agree with him, we have failed our youth. Now, I'm not that old, but I'm just saying we have failed our youth. We didn't build nothing for them. The enemy has no job for them, so we see our young black men out in the street with no hope. They're in despair. And I talked to so many of them the last time I was in St. Louis. I talked to them. These young brothers are good spiritual people at heart. All they want to be able to do is make a decent living. These are their words to me. I want to make a decent living. I want to be able to feed my babies and take care of my family. Then I will come off the street. I will put down the guns and the drugs. These are their words to me. So we have to unite and build a future for them and put aside our differences in religion. But look at the condition of our people. The condition of the people bear witness, we don't have no damn religion. Our people are dying. So how can you say I'm this and I'm that? Look at the condition of the people. So uniting and become one and building a future for ourselves, it can and it must be done.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All right. We still have no one else that's ready to participate or any other comments or questions from the chat room?
No. Everybody's just sitting here listening, even in Google. They're just listening.
All praise is due to Allah.
That's first.
I prayed it that we're having an impact. That's all I can say.
Sir.
I'm going to move now to point number 7, and we've talked briefly about some of this, but point number 7 in program and position.
Mm-hmm.
A message to the Black man by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He states, build your own homes, schools, hospitals, and factories. Now, we know from, that they have statistics that say that at this point, I believe our net worth as a people, talking about Black people or quote-unquote African-Americans here in America, okay, that we have collectively a spending, we got spending power that is at least, I think, $1.1 trillion, something of that nature. But that's our capacity for spending at this point. So, yes, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has reintroduced Muhammad's economic blueprint, of which the 3-year economic plan, which has been expanded on, was an introduction to that. Now, earlier, Brother Gene mentioned the fact, and you and I have had this discussion also in the past, that yes, we want to send the nickels and dimes, and the change, that we collect, because that's, as the minister has requested and asked, to Muhammad's economic blueprint. However, what are we doing, or how can we effectively, once we've met the obligation to the Muhammad's economic blueprint for the year, which I believe is like $18. I'm gonna just, because I just made, I rounded it up to $20, and
yeah, that's what I mean.
I've actually paid into it years in advance now, but however, and I still pay into it. But my thing is that a springboarding off of the statement that Brother Gene made earlier about the fact, I want to get your view on how can we locally, or in our area, or even us, who are part of nation building, moving away, how can we pool those resources? Because we can do that same thing among ourselves. As a matter of fact, we will see some immediate results by actually implementing the economic blueprint on an individual or a local level. So I wanted to get your view on that.
Well, that's ironic, Brother Kareem, because that's exactly what I spoke with Brother Gene about earlier. I'm skating on thin ice now. Let me just say this. without going back to prior to 1975, let me just say this.
Yes, ma'am.
With this very highly educated generation of people, and we're talking about, let's just say, 3 to almost 4 generations since 1975, depending on how we're counting, people want something tangible, something that they can see. And I'm not saying that this is the reason. I'm saying that this is the possibility that that process has always moved very slowly because when you spend your money, you want to know what you're investing in. You want to see what you're going to benefit, and that's just the truth. And so the thing about that is that we can go back to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he said that, you know, you work with those with like minds, and you can start something in small cluster groups. So if there's five brothers in the mosque that have $1,000 apiece and it takes $5,000 to open up a mechanic shop, then do that. No one is, you know, stopping you. But it all goes back to what I said originally. And I shared this with Brother Gene. And I'm not one of those sisters who are prior to 75 and I just can't let go of yesterday and I can't get with today. But the one thing that has been most difficult for me after all this time still is that there's a lack of that humanity that we once had. There's a lack of that genuine love, care, and concern that we once had for one another. There's that lack of establishment of a relationship where there's an establishment of trust where we can work together. And see, I told Brother Gene this as well. When out of slavery, those 60 black towns that were established. Now, if you think for one order of a second that everyone in the group or in the town got along, then, you know, don't play with yourself. But everyone in the group realized that out of slavery, they gave us nothing. And so they were able to come together in spite of whatever personal differences that they had because the condition was the same across the board. Everybody was broke. Everybody was hungry. Everybody was tired. Everyone had been beaten. Everyone had been battered. Everybody was scrambling for survival. So these people were able to come together and build towns in their entirety, functioning towns. You know, there's, I can't think of the name of the town, but it was Zora Neale Hurston. When she wrote the book, Their Eyes Were Watching God, not only did they create the town where there was real estate and there was grocery stores and shops and things of that nature, but they also created their own politics. So coming out of slavery, we are still a very intelligent people and a very capable people. But the one thing that movie showed and the book told was that there was a unity. And it's not that everybody got along, but everybody saw the goal. And so we're too personal now. You know, we are too offended. We get too much joy from checking somebody or you know, I telling somebody off or cussing somebody out. And at the end of the day, you know, we're all in the same predicament. And like I tell people all the time, when police come into our communities and bust your children or bust your husband upside the head or whatever, they don't stop and ask, are you a Muslim? Are you a Christian? You know, are you a Moor? Are you a Hebrew? They don't care. All they see is your blackness. And so in anything that we do, then we're going to have to come together in spite of the differences and reach the common goal. So if the common goal is housing, if the common goal is business, if the common goal is institutions of higher learning, if the common goal is a medical facility and you know that's what you need and you know that that's what you're highly being deprived of, then cluster groups can come together and establish something and create something for themselves. You don't need permission. And we're so eager to attach ourselves to something that has already been built instead of being innovative and creative and being pioneers. It's almost like we're afraid to be pioneers. But we have the best example. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad built the Nation of Islam from practically nothing. But when the initial believers came together and established the Nation of Islam, we're talking about 1929, 1930, 1931, 32, 35, whatever, all those years. Do you know what was going on in that time? They were just coming out of the Depression. So people didn't have money. You know, they didn't have money, but they put what they had together and they built what you now know is the Nation of Islam.
That's
from
right.
An era of time where everyone, white and black, were deprived of money, we as a people persevered through all of that. So now, and then certainly those people were not educated. Certainly none of them were in the beginning. And even prior to 1975, I could count how many of them had college degrees on my hand. So now we've been corporatized. We got so much education, so much business savvy, so much access to information, and now we produce nothing?
Yeah. That's right.
But I'm going to tell you, like my daddy said, the opposite of sense is nonsense. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. That's right. Again, I have to say, nail on the head. Matter of fact, you just drove it through the board.
Yes, sir. That's just real talk.
No, it is. Absolutely, it is. Number 8 that we have, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, he says, do not seek to mix your blood, through racial integration. Now, Brother Gene.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm going to have something to say about that myself, but I want to come to you. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states that, when he makes that statement, how do you view that?
Well, I view it as what the ministers taught and what the messengers taught. You have to understand why there's race mixing going on, you know. In the Caucasian race, there's one death for every birth. So they're not multiplying. They're not, you know, they have a zero population rate. So the enemy's plan is that we can get them to integrate with our women or men, then we can prolong our population. And that is the whole plot of it. But let me ask the audience a question. Have you ever seen a Jew bring a German home? It just won't happen. You've never seen a cardinal mate with a crow, have you?
Come on.
They stick to their own kind. They stick to their own. You don't see the cat over there trying to get the dog or the dog over there trying to get the cat. They know their nature. What I see on that is integration marriage. I mean, the Bible says that he comes to separate the sheep from the goat. Man, it's plain and simple, but it's a plot of the enemy because he knows he has a zero population growth. And black folk, that's all we do is multiply. You know, he knows this. So, but I've got a couple of cousins, you know, who are married to, and I'm not, you know, power to you. But, you know, 9 times out of 10 is not love. And maybe, you know, but they have a motive and you have a motive too. So I don't speak against, I'm not for it, but I don't knock anybody. I just understand it. So I just follow the teachings of the man. That's the enemy's last trick, is that white woman. If you look at most of the black athletes, when they're in college, they go play ball, you know, run the ball. The enemy sends in the white woman. And then the next thing you know, they're in the divorce court. She's taking half. That's the whole game. It's a circle. He gives you the money, and he's going to turn around. That's slavery. He gives you the money. You're going to go and spend it to him, buy the houses, buy the cars, buy the jewelry from him, and then he's going to send in the white woman. So when she divorced you, she take not just half, she take 80% of what you got. So he just got all what he gave you. He just got all that. That's the end. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. But Queen Aziza.
You have a call, Brother Kareem. Area code 602, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How you doing, Brother Kareem? It's Brother Ghazi, brother, Phoenix, Arizona.
All praise is due to Allah. I'm fine, my brother. How you feeling?
I'm maintaining my family, brother, by the grace of Allah.
Hey,
I'm just calling. So I've been listening off and on tonight. I had
yes.
to stop for about half an hour and take care of something. And you all were still talking when I logged back on. So I
yes,
just
sir.
Want to comment on something our sister was just saying a minute ago. And, you know, like one issue it seemed that we are having is like we're using a lot of outdated strategies. And tactics, you know, stuff that we used to do in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, that stuff ain't going to work right now. You know, the minister said once, he said yesterday's key won't open up today's lock. And, like, when you study the dynamics of what was taking place when the Nation of Islam was started in the 1930s, in 1930, July 4th, and the growth of the nation from the 40s and 50s and 60s, even up to the 70s, you're dealing with a social dynamic that existed in the black community where we were pretty much segregated areas. Desegregation and integration caused a lot of our black brilliance to pretty much move about the hood and go into the suburbs, white areas, and so forth. So what appeared to be like it was unity and we had it all together, a large part of that was because Negroes couldn't go nowhere else within the black community. So we had our doctors, we had our lawyers, we had our brain power in the black areas, so they couldn't go nowhere else. And we had all that brilliance and things like that. So once integration took place, one of the downfalls of integration and desegregation was that it took our brilliance up out of the hood, so to speak, up out of the black neighborhoods, up out of the black areas. It took the doctors, the lawyers, the scientists, the thinkers, the educators, a lot of them again to move out into other areas. And it left that void in the community, and it left and the hustlers and et cetera, a lot of the less attractive role models for us, you know, non-productive role models for us. Though we still, a lot of them stayed in the hood, but a lot of them, they left. A lot of them, they left and weren't coming back. They left and weren't thinking about coming back from the 70s and 80s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I was saying that, you know, I remember meeting a brother who was the member of the, like, the Black Liberation Army. And, you know, very strong brother by all accounts, you know, black power. I seen his pictures when he had the dashiki on back in the 60s and the afro and the fist in the air. And he was with the Panthers and, you know, members of the BLA. And, you know, they was on the front line, you know. That strategy differed from the Nation of Islam. But nevertheless, they was on the front line for the struggle of liberation. But in the 70s, this same brother and a lot of ones in this element, they became heroin addicts and heroin pushers. So in the 60s, they had on afros and dashikis. In the 70s, they had on long trench coats and driving Eldorados, pushing heroin and moving prostitutes and stuff. So it was a big change, almost like Hollywood also entered into the destruction of the black liberation movement. when they seen the influence of the Nation of Islam, the Black Panther Party, even the Civil Rights Movement, the progressive elements of the Civil Rights Movement, when they seen the extent of the influence, especially on black youth. So then Hollywood entered in the 70s and come out with the Mac, Cross 110th Street, Superfly, all them other movies they came out with to put seeds in our heads when we was little boys. You know, at that time, it dropped some seeds in our brain, and we didn't even know it was going to be a reality to come about where we can live out these seeds and be hustlers and be players and pimps and things like that. That wasn't even the mindset back in the day because a lot of it, again, because it was desegregated. We was forced to stay together. So what appeared to be a strength, once that floodgate was open and say we can go somewhere else, we got to really ask ourselves, was it really a strength for real? Even in the nation, I mean, what appeared to be a strength when you say the father of the nation, I mean, the whole thing with Imam Warden Muhammad coming to the, you know, I mean, like the whole period of 75. And the minister, some of the things that he said, especially dealing with the domestic life, what appeared to be a strength. I mean, was it really a strength in real, I mean, a real strength, a real, real strength? If it was a real strength, then why didn't it endure the storms? If it was something real strong and solid, how couldn't it or why didn't it endure the storms of 75 as far as the NOI is concerned? But as far as the black movement is concerned, I mean, sometimes we look at it and we look at it from one angle like, okay, black people, we did this and we did that, we did that. Yeah, at that time right there, we was forced to be together. If we look at the time right there, it's a different time. And I remember one time a brother said something to the Supreme Khan, Brother Mustafa, and he was bragging about how many final calls the FOI sold, like back in the 60s and things. Man, we just said 300 Muhammad speaks up under the Ambalaj Muhammad. And almost like saying that the FOI these days ain't doing nothing. And but the Supreme Khan responds, I never forgot, brother. It laid me out. He said, brother, in the Bible, in the beginning, we were dealing with a serpent. But by the time Revelation came, we were dealing with a full-fledged beast. So he said, back then, you're dealing with the serpent, brother. Yeah, I mean, you can say that. But now you're dealing with a beast now. They didn't up the ante on their tactics, their strategy. The women are straight naked right now. It's all kind of crazy. Dope in the community, heroin, cocaine. I mean, no unity, no role models there. Destruction of the school system, destruction of the family. I mean, everything that was going on back then, we still had strong families 30, 40 years ago. You know, we still had Big Mama. Big Mama was still real. It wasn't a myth. Right now, Big Mama's a myth. Grandmama's now, I mean, I'm 43. I'm a grandfather. I got cousins younger than me. They got 7, 8 grandchildren. You understand what I'm saying? And so I'm saying, like, the dynamic is changing so much, but yet oftentimes we still approach this new dynamic with the exact same strategy that we did 40, 50 years ago. Because the devil, he's maturing in his destruction. He's maturing in his scientific method to destroy us. But oftentimes, I mean, the radio station, I'm saying, like, people that, you know, I go to these organizational meetings, I listen to what they're saying. It's like, damn, man, we're saying the same stuff they were saying in the 60s. It's almost like a, like it's a roadmap or something. And it's the only way we can approach the ideal of freedom or liberation or, you know, independence or black nationhood. It's the same old rhetoric almost that we said 40, 50 years ago. And oftentimes, man, that stuff, it just don't carry weight in this time. Whatever good in it, you know, we take the good from it. But as the enemy intensifies his strategies, his tactics, he get more scientific, he get more mature with it. We got to take that same approach, you know. But I just want to say that, because this is what Sister was saying, and it inspired me because I was at a meeting recently, and I was just frustrated and disgusted with all these so-called black thinkers. And a lot of it just be rhetoric. You know, we just want to hear ourselves talk. You know, it ain't about nothing. And we still, I mean, we're quoting. Like George, I love Comrade George Jackson. I mean, we're going to quote George Jackson, Huey Newton. Come on, man, like for real. I mean, like all the ones who, you know, I mean, I heard the minister say once, he said, a white man don't care nothing about you wearing no red, black, and green, and no Asante cross. And he said, he conquered that civilization. He ain't worrying about that. He conquered all that right there. So, I mean, you know, here we are quoting the great ones of what they already conquered. But we're the original man of a new dispensation. So this is a new idea right here. And we taught our lesson that the new God, he don't copy off nothing from the old God. Come up with something all the way different new. He don't punish ever, though. He destroy all that because he don't even want to use none of that. It's something completely new. Well, that principle right there, those of us who follow in this line, then we got to have that same idea because we can turn to the God, too. and generate new ideas and new thoughts and new methods of meeting this enemy in today's time and the destruction on our people, on our community, on especially on our young people. You know, our strategy got to be updated. That's all I'm going to say, brother. But I'm enjoying the show. I'm loving Queen Aziza's remarks, your remarks, and Brother James. And thank you all, brother, for pumping this content into the community. And may Allah bless all of you, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, and thank you, brother.
Salam, brother Gandhi. Good to hear from you.
Yes, ma'am. Likewise.
Yes, matter of fact, while I got you on the line, I want you to get them the information of how they can contact Debris House, bro. Go ahead. Come on, give it out, because that's action.
Yes, sir. I can easily reach at 602-544-3939. Or we can be reached at thedebrishouse@gmail.com. That's thedebrishouse@gmail.com. And, Brother Craig, I just want to say to you, brother, while I got you on that, because I didn't say this like a couple weeks ago, brother, that, you know, I want to thank you. Because, you know, what I didn't say a couple of weeks ago was that when I was in them camps, that you was very instrumental, brother, in my development and in my growth personally. You know, like I told you, I was excited when I talked to you. I never met Sister Aziza. I never met Brother Kareem personally. I never met him personally. Until you sent me the picture, I wouldn't even know who you were, Brother Kareem. If I had seen you today, I wouldn't know who you were. But this brother used to write me when I was in prison and send me inspirational stuff when I was in penitentiary. This brother on the phone right now, Brother Kareem, he used to write me. At that time, he was Brother Carson at that time. But I still remember some of the study guides, some of the lessons that they used to write me, brother, and they was like study guides. And they so etched in my brain, brother, because the level that you studied back then, man, that was almost 20 years ago. And what you were studying back then helping me as a young FOI who was crazy and buck wild and out of my mind in penitentiary, you know, trying to represent Farrakhan the best way we can. But I wanted just to thank you, brother, for that time, because you definitely have been instrumental. Allah has used you to be one of them brothers who instrumental in my personal growth and development. And, you know, I always want to show love to those brothers and sisters who helped me personally to grow. I just want to say that to you, my brother.
Well, praise is due to Allah. Well, thank you, brother. And all I can say is all praise is due to Allah. That's our job. And, you know, like what you just said about new tactics, what you're doing. That's why I wanted you to talk about Debris House even tonight, you know, to get that information out there, because that's what we have to be about. That's why our topic tonight is It's Nation Time. For real, because your actions and the actions of others were actually implementing these teachings in a practical manner. But thank you, brother. All praise is due to Allah. I'm just thankful to Allah I could do something of benefit. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir. That's a wonderful example of brotherhood.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, we're down to what? Where we at? What time is it? Okay, we got, what, about 10 to 10, 11 minutes?
Well,
right,
you really got an hour, so it's up to you.
Oh, I did not know. Oh,
it's June 1st, so we did expand. We were successful at reaching our goal to expand the network, so... Now we have the option to have two 3-hour shows. So all praise is due to Allah for all of the ones who contributed and helped us expand the network. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. As a matter of fact, before we leave, you know we're gonna do the lineup. However, I do want to, you know, the new program that we've introduced, or that you've introduced, actually, all praise is due to Allah. I would like to get that out there also. And I'm going to jump back into Message to the Black Man. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we stopped on point number 8. He goes here, we've already talked about this briefly. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in point number 9 of program and position, he states, stop buying expensive cars, fine clothes, and shoes before being able to live in a fine home. You know, and we've gone over that. But again, like I said, we mentioned earlier, so I mean that translates into, like I say, today, you know, the plasma screens and the, I mean, in other words, all of these things that this society promotes as signs of success. And he says, he didn't say that you shouldn't buy these things or have them. He said, stop buying these things before being able to live in a fine home. And what is a fine home? We have to understand what a fine home is. Is a fine home having a five-story house with 30 bedrooms? Is that what he's talking about? Or is he really talking about what a home truly is? A home being a place where you can come after having to be out in this wicked world and deal with the madness of this world. Is he really talking about having a fine home being one where you can go and rest yourself, get some peace, rejuvenate yourself, get a good meal, have good conversation, and be there with someone who's going to help build you and rejuvenate you for your next step out into the battlefield of this world? Personally, that's what I think he's talking about. Before we, and but he's also talking about, yes, having those a nice, fine home, a place where you can be relaxed at, where you have family at. That's a home. Before going out, I mean, because I know some individuals right now, even today in 2014, they got a brand new, I'm talking about brand new 2014 Cadillac. They keep it shiny. It gets detailed all the time. And they sleeping on somebody else's couch. I mean, come on now. You know, working at McDuff, I mean McDonald's.
Yes, sir.
Point number 10 that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives us in Program and Position. He says, spend your money among yourselves. Again, uh-huh. Some of these are self-explanatory. However, I want to ask you, Brother Gene, and then I'm going to come to you, Queen Aziza, because I want to get both views. When he says spend your money among yourselves, I mean, just how do we do that? I walk in the community now, and I remember back when I was coming up, see, growing up in East St. Louis, Illinois, when you went to the store or the confectionery, as we called it back then. Yeah, I'm proud. Yeah, I'm 54 years young. We called it the confectionery. It wasn't a cone of soap. We called it the confectionery. When I would go to the confectionery, every confectionery in the neighborhood was owned by some black family or some black or someone from the community. As a matter of fact, most of them lived, they owned the building and lived in the same building where they had the store at, right down to the grocery store. Now, the bigger stores a lot of times were owned by, and I'm not disparaging anybody, but usually by some Jewish family, but the smaller store, and they would close up and leave out the neighborhood before it got dark. So if you wanted to go to the store, you had to go to the confectionery. Matter of fact, in my neighborhood, what's called the South End in East St. Louis, the store that we used to go to, right there on 13th and Tudor, was the area. It was called. It was owned by a lady called Miss Parks. And Miss Parks was there from the time I was a little bitty boy up until I grew into adulthood. She ran that store. You know, so now I shared that, but that being the case, so, Brother Gene, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that, spend your money among yourselves, in your view, how can we more so make that a reality now?
Well, first of all, as I think about the question, Brother Kareem, I have to wonder, you know, coming up and living in St. Louis, and I lived in Atlanta, but where is the black businesses? To spend the money. Where's the black businesses now? And you another thing I want to touch on is that you said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you know, before buying expensive clothes and expensive cars, you know, buy a fine home and live in a fine home. You know, I was privileged enough to come around a man, a brother who's a multimillionaire today. And I remember this, but I was 18, 19 years old. I'm not going to mention his name, but I come around him and watched him. I remember when he made his first $50,000 a year, and he drove a Maxima, old 1984, 83 Maxima. And he told me, he said, Brother Gene, I said, well, you can afford a Benz. You know, he said, well, I won't go buy a Benz so I can buy 10 of them at one time. Not that he would go buy 10 at one time, but he wanted his pockets that if he wanted 10, he can buy 10 at one time. And I just want to say to the listening audience, always remember this. If anything depreciates in value, lease it. If it appreciates in value, buy it. Then the enemy, see, they can be enemies among both each other, but when it comes down to business, they get in the same car and go to the business meeting together and close the deal. They put their differences aside. But to your question, you know, the messenger says, spend our money amongst our own. Our money do not circulate in the black community not one time. Now, we ain't talking about buying dope from one another, but that we don't have no black businesses. Wonder Bread in St. Louis sold for $400 million. A bakery that was worldwide sold for $400 million. Eastern Airlines back in 1983 sold for $500 million. And the Europeans bought it and split it up and sold off the company. And I say that to mean this, we have got to get out of this small thinking. Yes, we have to start small and grow large, but we got to get out of this damn penny ante hustling. We got to think industry, manufacturing, sales. Look at Bowen's Jewish Hospital up there sitting on Kings Highway. Bowen's Jewish Hospital, we've got to get in the position to run those type of operations. They got it from us. We built the country. We've got the minds to do it, but we got to get out of this penny ante hustling out there on the corner selling colognes or whatever. We do what we have to do. Start small and grow large. We have to get into industry thinking. But there are no black businesses in the community to spend our money, and the enemy has made it that way because we are so divided as a people. We hate one another. You hear about all the black-on-black crimes in the community. Now, I'm not justifying this, but how many times do you hear, and I say this amongst my family members who are young males who are lost, and I try to give them encouragement, I say, but you ain't going to kill that white man, though, are you? You'll kill your brother quick. But you won't kill that open enemy of yours who's destroying you every day. Not saying to go out and do that, but we just have such a hatred toward one another. It's absolutely redundant. There are no black businesses to spend our money in the community. We've got to change that. I mean, that's just the reality of it all. Where are the black businesses? We go to grocery stores, our everyday needs, where can we go and spend our money? They open up, they close down because we don't support them. there are no black businesses in our communities, and we've got to change that. In St. Louis, grocery stores, you see grocery store buildings, Brother Kareem, that are closed down. Snook's Market closing down buildings. The one on Grand, the only grocery store that they had on Grand and Costco, where I grew up at, they closed it down. And I heard it, my people sitting around talking about they closing down. They complaining because the white man closing, they're taking his business out of your community. Damn it. Get together and go open up another one.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's thinking. Lord, Venerable Elijah Muhammad, what a masterful teacher. If we just apply his teaching. I was talking to a brother today in St. Louis, and Brother Philip told me he was on a Metrolink, and he saw one of our sisters actually pull her pants down and urinate in public as if it was nothing. We have lost knowledge. We have lost the knowledge of self, and I encourage all of the listening audience, please study the teaching, apply them to your life. And I guarantee you, you will be in heaven while you live. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. I agree with you. A lot of work to do. And Queen Aziza, based upon the comments that, I mean, well, yes, what our dear brother Gene just said, and also what our dear brother Ghazi was saying about the fact of, you know, and you said yourself, you know, this is a different time. We got to up our game, quote unquote. I mean, we're giving in, again, that's why I say our topic is it's nation time for real. So that means that all these things, we got to take them out of the realm of cliche, and they got to be real, you know, in our actions and what we're thinking. I mean, for example, we hear this all the time. We hear quickness, fast moving, cleanliness, internally and externally, right down to the modern time. So in that vein, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to us, because like I said, I have a comment myself about it, but when he says spend your money among yourselves, I mean, in this modern time, how do we do that since there are no black businesses, quote unquote, in the community anymore?
Well, sometimes you have to make a business. You know, if you see there's a need in the community, then that's where you start. You know, and like I say, if it has to be done in cluster groups, because we're going to always end up being consumers if we keep using the excuse that there are no black businesses in the community, so therefore I do have to go to Walmart or I do have to go to this white-owned establishment because we don't have it in our community. But then you look at the things that you would desire in your community. If you desire a cleaners, then why not, even if it's 10 or 20 people, can get together and invest in a building and whatever business that you want to, you know, create or develop, then why can't we do that? And I hear everything that everybody is saying. I understand the economic plight better than most people, but our human resource is the greatest resource, because if it wasn't for humanity, then we wouldn't need no money. Allah doesn't need any money. We need money. So I don't think people get it that if we do not better ourselves as people, as believers, if we don't better ourselves, then whatever endeavors we may have, they're not going to be blessed. Allah is not playing. It's no gray area anymore. It's either black or white. You either going to obey or disobey. And if you disobey, okay, then you suffer the consequences. So your efforts have to be in righteousness. You can't have efforts with a mean spirit. You can't try to perpetrate the fraud by doing a godly deed, but you got a devilish mind behind it. Or you got a hidden agenda that is not of Allah. You're not going to be blessed like that. So all the game running, the game playing, you trying to be nickel slick, you faking and shaking and grinning and in somebody's face, Allah is not blessing it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe like I believe and you say your prayers in the name of Master Farah Muhammad and you move out on the desires of your heart and follow the instructions of the Most Honorable Muhammad and get with like minds, you can bring something into fruition. But I don't give a damn what you attempt to do, because if you don't come together first as a people, as a brother, as a sister, as a friend, if you don't get back together, I don't care what you try to build, everything you do is going to fail.
Come on.
We got too many cutthroats. You know, we do it to one another. We kill one another. We call one another out of each other's name. We talk about one another. If we don't get that aspect of us together, you can forget it. Because who in the hell wants to go into the hereafter with hell? I don't want it. So like Al Sharpton say, all everybody black ain't your brother, and all your skin folks ain't your kin folks. So that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, get with like minds. He didn't say get with black minds. He said get with like minds. And if your mind is not of God, if your mind is not of Allah, then you can forget it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's my answer.
Brother
Kareem.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
You remember when the minister came to St. Louis and dedicated the building in St. Louis, the new mosque? One thing he said that sticks with me today, he said, if we can become a service to the community, then the community would take care of us. We wouldn't have money problems. That goes back to what Sister Queen was saying, you know. If your heart is not right and you're not, see, that's what the Christ judges by. What's hidden in the secret place is the heart. But the minister said we became a service to the community. The community would take care of us. We would not have anything to worry about.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
It became a service to the community. You got the Dream Center there, brother. They open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Black people going to get meals, money to pay their bills, places to lay their head because they're homeless. Do you know them people guard that building? Ain't going to let nothing happen to it. And I asked Sister Queen, has she ever heard of the Dream Center? She said, no, brother, shit, I haven't. But, you know, it's just that they're being a service to the community.
Right, Joyce Myers.
And that's what we have to become as believers. We have to become a service to the community.
Well, exactly. Yes, sir. Exactly, and that's what we've been given. I mean, even if you go back to the scripture, there was a time when the, if I'm not mistaken, the disciples were talking to Jesus and asking him who was going to be sitting at his right hand, who going to be his right hand man, and he made the statement and said that he who would be the greatest among you would be the servant of you all. And that's the bottom line. You're absolutely 100% correct. Instead of having our minds focused on, the material wealth, the money, quote unquote, like, you wouldn't have any money problems. I mean, again, the examples are there right there in the scripture.
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, brother.
Okay, I didn't know. One of the best examples of exactly what both you and Queen Aziza were just talking about is the time when Jesus and the disciples, all right, his closest disciples, were out, and the tax man came. And they got upset and started running around like chickens with their head cut off because the Romans said they wanted them to pay some tax. They said, look here, you know, it's a modern translation. They said, look here, y'all been hanging out together now for a few months, so that means y'all are organization. We've seen y'all out there collecting some money, so you need to pay some tax. They got to flipping out about, Lord, what is we going to do? And Jesus said, he made a statement. He said, go bring me a fish. And it said he reached in the fish's mouth and pulled out a coin, and then he asked the disciples, whose superscription, picture, or mark is on this? And they said, Caesar's. And well, Jesus said, well, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God's. And they were like, well, do we need to go get some more? Jesus told them, no, it's sufficient. And then he paid the tax man. The point I'm making is that if people think that was an actual fish out of the water, and Jesus reached in the fish mouth and pulled out a coin, they're sadly mistaken. Remember, Jesus taught in parables. And the parable that he was talking about is the fact that, if you remember, it was Simon Peter and his brother Jesus came along while they were doing their profession before, which was fishermen, and told them, come, I'll make you fishers of men. So I'm saying exactly the scripture bears witness to what both of you have just said. The fact that if we go get the fish, the people, if we go and in the spirit, if you will, in the mind of Almighty God, in the mind of Master Farad Muhammad, because that's how he came, as a servant. He didn't ask us for nothing. He didn't ask for a dime. He came as a servant. And like you said, that's what we have to do. Like Queen Aziza was talking about, has been talking about all night, our interpersonal relationships with one another, how we treat one another. That's the nation. That's how we know it's nation time, by how we treat one another. But yes, if we go get the people and serve the people, that money that they've been turning over to the enemy, who has been providing for their needs, they would put in the hands of the servant. But we got to be servants. I'm in 100% agreement with you. And on that note, I want to share from the book of Matthew, directly relating to something that you talked about earlier, Queen Aziza, and even just in the past few minutes. Notice this statement. It's in chapter 7 of Matthew, starting in the first verse. It states, it says, judge not that ye be not judged. Now, we've discussed the fact that the word that they translate as judge is the word judice or judere in Latin, which means either to judge, to make a decision about, or to condemn. And in this context, when they say judge not, they don't mean that you don't look at something and make a judgment about it. You got to make a decision on whether it's right or wrong, good or bad. What they're saying is condemn not that ye be not condemned, because none of us has the right to condemn save Allah, because he can forgive whom he pleases. It goes on to state, for with the same, with what judgment, meaning with what condemnation ye condemn, ye shall be condemned. And then it says, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, the point I'm getting to is here in verse 3 and 4, or actually 3 through 5, where it states, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thine brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And, I mean, I just want to, you know, think about this because we have so many literalists where the scriptures are concerned, you know, with everything is so literal. So if you got a beam in your eye, imagine that. Now, I do construction. So a piece of wood, a beam is a piece of wood. And that which is considered a beam is a piece of wood that's either 4x4x8, meaning 4 inches by 4 inches by 8 inches, 8 feet long. Or it is a piece of wood that is 6 inches by 6 inches around, and it's 8 feet long. So now for the literalists among us, let's think about that. He's saying you're trying to cast the mote. A mote is so small. It's a piece of dust so small you can't even see it. If the wind didn't move it and bring it into the light, you wouldn't even know that it exists. That's how small a mote is. So he's talking about an individual with a mote in their eye, some debris, and then here you are with a beam in your eye. So can you imagine running up on somebody with a beam in your eye trying to pull a mote out of theirs? So that means literally you beating them upside the head with this big piece of wood. You are, as you were talking about earlier, Queen Aziza, killing the spirit of this individual, because literally what you are doing is that beam is talking about is your own imperfections, your own faults. And you're projecting them onto this other individual in the name of correcting them and helping them, and you're actually beating them down and literally killing them, killing their spirit. Because your faults are so glaring, you projecting it onto them. That's the beam. It's our own inconsistency. But he said to do what? Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Yet, once I submit my will to do the will of Allah, once I am every day inventorying myself to see where I'm incorrect at and correcting those things, then I can see clearly, not out of an attitude of, I know so much, you're wrong, but out of an attitude of love and compassion, I can see how to be an example to help my brother or sister to remove the mote from their own eye. It's nation time. For real, we got to take action. Point number 11, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states and says, build an economic system among yourselves. And that goes back to exactly what both of you shared, what we've been talking about. We build that economic system by answering the needs that are not being met in our community. Like you were saying, yes, we get together, and if there's no cleaners, then we open the cleaners. If there's no grocery store, Smith shut down, then we need... However, this is, again, what us talking about is nation time. That's why those of us who claim to be conscious, those of us who claim to have the word of God, know the word of God, and say we know the answer, then we got to come together, pool those resources. We should already, I'm going to say it, within every church and every mosque that has the truth and knows what the truth is, there should already be community garden and what they call in some places a co-op. They should already be getting these things and have a service by which the people can, even if it's the membership first, get the food stuff that they need, and that leads to setting up your grocery store. The people need clothes, so we can get together as a group. Like you said, if it ain't before five and it costs, you got $1,000 or $100, $200 a piece, you get together. Everybody needs shoes, so you find a distributor. They're out there. They'll sell them to you and start providing shoes at a reasonable price for the people. I mean, it's
yes,
not
I mean, there are a lot of things that we can do, but wow. Yeah.
I'm just saying, again, we're offering, we're putting these suggestions back out here again, because like you said, our topic is it's nation time for real, meaning that we have to take action. So we're just putting those things out here.
Mm-hmm.
The point, now notice point number 12. Muhammad gives us in program and position, he says, protect your women. Protect your women. And I'm going to say this, and there may be some who may disagree or get their haunches, you know, get in a huff about what I'm about to say. But the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us these words. He said, you cannot protect that which you cannot control. So that means, yes, we have to be able to control. Now, the level of control that we're talking about is first, since the brother needs to be on the front line, the husband or the brother, then this control we're talking about comes not out of arrogance, does not come out of, look, I'm the man, so you got to do what I say. It comes, again, out of that love, but not love as a word, love as an action.
Yes,
being there, as Allah says in the Quran, that men are the maintainers of women, and as you, Queen Aziza, have put forth so eloquently on many shows before, that don't just refer to husband and wife. It didn't say that husbands are the maintainers of wives. It said men are the maintainers of women. So that means that we as men, as FOI, if you will, but just as men have to first be maintainers of the community, maintainers of the women, be there as their brother, as a surrogate father, uncle for their children, for the single parents. We got to be there and maintain, and then we can exercise that protection because we will be in control of the activities in our community.
Yes, sir.
We have
absolutely
run the course, and I want to say this. I want to thank everyone that has joined us in the chat room and on the phone. I want to thank Brother Ghazi. I want to thank Brother Gene. Of course, I have to thank over and over again Queen Aziza Miriam Muhammad, you know, for allowing to be able to serve. Again, like I said, I do, before we do close out, I would like to get the lineup for the week and then also talk to them about our new program of how they can help to support this mighty, mighty work here at Nation Building Network.
Yes, well, let me get off into that first. Well, this summer, we kind of already pre-started it, but starting from June 1st through the end of September to September 30th, we have expanded our radio program from 2 to 3 hours because we're going to be doing some very special series on missing children. And this is a national effort, and there are many people who are going to be involved. Some of our shows will be moving to the three-hour mark. So in order to cover those expenses, and also we're going to be doing some other things to raise awareness to missing black children, we are offering promotional packages for your business, and they're very, very cheap. They're like $40 a month for 56 mentions. And I did it that way because it's very simple. Two mentions per show, one at the beginning, one in the middle at the peak time. You can talk to us about doing a recording, putting it on MP3, and we can play it, or we can run what we call a dry ad, which is something like a business card, which will give you up to 45 seconds of advertisement during those 2 points in the show. So for those of you who may be interested in promoting your business, or you know someone who wants to promote their business, then please hit me at Queen Aziza Maria Muhammad on Facebook. You can hit me on Twitter at Z65, and then Z is spelled Z, E as in Eric, I, 65 at Twitter. And you can hit me on the Nation Building email, which is YGB, which stands for Young, Gifted, and Black, YGB, at gmail.com. So those are the ways you can hit me up if you are interested in advertising. Like I said, $40 a month for 56 mentions. That's 2 mentions per show, 7 days a week, all month long. So after that, I also want to, it will behoove everyone to participate in our Mrs. Children's Project. We don't want to wait and be proactive when, or be reactive when it happens to us. So we want to be proactive in this movement in helping find our missing Black children. As I shared on Saturday night, 949,000 children are missing in the United States, and of that, almost 300,000 of them are Black youth, and some of them have been missing since 1983. So we want to really, really put our energies into this effort in bringing our children home. We already know about organ harvesting. We know about sex trafficking. We know about international slavery. We know about domestic slavery. There are many instances that could have happened to these children. They could have been kidnapped by a serial killer or whatever the case may be. The first movement that we're going to implement is prevention, with the second one being rescue and recovery. So I ask all of you to take one child from your area and dedicate to looking for that child. And we'll be having more information about search and rescue information and training that you can get in your local cities. So tomorrow, 7 p.m., Disaster Preparedness with our beloved Brother Rudolph and Sister Michelle. Wednesday, 7 p.m., DJ Black Caesar and friends. And of course, on Thursday, I'll be back with Student Minister Stanley Muhammad and his wife, Sister Ruth, on another relationship marriage topic. And of course, on Friday, we'll be here with Student Minister James Muhammad with our live study group, 8 p.m. And on Saturday, Young, Gifted, and Black, as we start the series of Young, Black, and Missing. So please tune into that show at 8 p.m. That is a three-hour show for sure. And then, of course, on Sunday, we welcome Brother Jamil back, who is back from having to bury his mother, who transitioned on May 23rd. So we welcome him back to What Must Be Done on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Central. And then, of course, next Monday, everybody knows to be right back here, because Brother Kareem has another intriguing topic for us. I guess you left the audience stunned, because I still got like about 45 people in Google Chat, and there's still several people on the phone. So no questions tonight from the audience. That was very odd. That's a first, like, ever. So Brother Kareem, what is the topic for next week? And I hope it's something that makes them talk, because I think You talk very well tonight.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Well, our topic for next week is From Prayer to Reality.
Ooh. Okay, let me write that down. From Prayer to Reality.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, we certainly want to thank Brother Ghazi and Brother James for joining in the conversation with us tonight. And so we will leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.